Good morning, everyone. I hope you're doing well this morning. Let's turn our Bibles to Psalm 58. All right, so Psalm 58, if you're awake and ready. All right, let's do this. Psalm 58. Again, a prayer for the punishment of the wicked. For the choir director said to Al-Tashesh, a miktam of David. Says, do you indeed speak righteousness, O gods? Do you judge uprightly, O sons of men? No, in heart you work on righteousness. On earth you weigh out the violence of your hands. The wicked are estranged from the womb. Those who speak lies go astray from birth. They have venom like the venom of a serpent, like a deaf cobra that stops that stops up its ear, so that it does not hear the voice of charmers or a skillful caster of spells. O God, shatter their teeth in their mouth, break out the fangs of the young lions, O Lord. Let them flow away like water that runs off. When he aims his arrows, let them be as headless shafts. Let them be as a snail which melts away as it goes along, like the miscarriages of a woman which never see the sun. Before your pots can feel the fire of thorns, he will sweep them away with the whirlwind, the green and the burning alike. The righteous will rejoice when he sees the vengeance. He will wash his feet in the blood of the wicked, and men will say, surely there is a reward for the righteous. Surely there is a God who judges on earth. Amen. Amen. So again, this is one of the miktam of David, they consider the golden psalms. And we'll actually, it's 58, 59, and 60. There's two more in this set. And so the history, what's popular known during this time, is David is in the cave of Adullam. And so Saul is trying to kill him. So Saul tried to kill him. And so he left the court, and which means that he needs to go to the desert and find refuge. That's usually the idea that's at work that happens here. But I guess while he's gone, this is what most scholars believe, while he's away seeking refuge away from Saul. By the way, Saul is trying to kill him unrighteously. We understand that. But while he's there, while he's in this cave of Adullam, the judges, these would be the rulers, so to speak, they basically have he hears that they have a trial, obviously it's an unfair trial because David is not there and he's not able to defend himself. So we know this is a kangaroo court in a certain way, but that's what happens. And he is deemed a traitor, and now there is a sentence on him. And when he's in this cave and he hears about what these people have done, he just goes livid, and he is outraged at their injustice. Can you imagine? Now he's found guilty. He's found guilty. He's not even able to defend himself. And such injustice, such unrighteousness that takes place for him. And that's the background of this psalm. And so he says, do you indeed speak righteousness, O gods? Obviously is the question, right? He's really kind of laying out kind of almost sarcastically in this way. And it's interesting, the word O gods is translated as judges. In older translations, they use a different manuscript, and it's translated as "O silent ones," and so to mean that these were rulers, but they were silent during this time. You know, they should have spoken out against injustice. They should have said something during this time, and they didn't. They didn't speak on his behalf. And so, you know, as a result of that, the anger of David, and combine this with the anger of God, begins to flow. And he says in the next verses, do you judge uprightly, O sons of men? You know, it's kind of like, are you Are you serious? Are you really? You're supposed to be judges. You're supposed to be righteous, but are you judging uprightly in this way? And obviously he disagrees with all this, and so he seems to be directing this psalm against the rulers, against judges, against people that are supposed to act righteously, but they're not. Since they passed judgment on David, who's now a fugitive, he's really speaking out against them in this time. And you could sense the sense of betrayal in David, the anger, because remember, first of all, remember Saul is trying to kill him unrighteously. We know that's unrighteous. These guys knew it was unrighteous. And now they heap on top of unrighteousness. You know what they do? They heap on top of that. They heap this great injustice by pronouncing him guilty of treason. I mean, it's just a crazy situation that happens. And so you can understand David's anger in this place. And he says, he just makes it clear in verse 2, "Know in heart you work unrighteousness. On earth you weigh out the violence of your hands." And he just lets them know. Remember, he asked the question. Now he answers the question. He says, "No, you guys are acting unrighteously." And it says that the problem or the situation in verse 2, it's in your heart. There's wickedness inside of you, and that's where all this is coming from. You weigh out, there's violence in your hands. In other words, it's not just a judgment or a pronouncement that you speak. Actually, you yourself, it's the blood is on your hands. You weigh out the violence of your hands. And so it's like it's on you. It's not just a pronouncement. You cannot escape the consequences of these judgments and these things that happen in this place. And it says the wicked are estranged from the womb. And so David diagnoses the main problem of these judges is that they're in their nature, at the root, even in the womb, they were wicked. And this is, in a sense, what's true of all humanity. We are in our sinful nature really takes a hold of it. We have to teach people to be good. You don't have to teach them to be bad. They're bad on their own. The things that people do. I mean, if you don't understand that, I mean, just I think most parents understand this. We have to teach our kids to say sorry. It doesn't happen on its own. We have to teach our kids to be generous. Selfishness is their primary trait. Most kids, their first words, I mean, we'd love to think it's mommy and daddy, but a lot of times it's mine. That's the refrain that happens. And so we are very aware of this sinful nature, and it happens even from the womb. And so by the way, that bit of theology, sinful nature, this primarily sets the church, Christians, apart from almost everyone else in the world. Because I mean, if you look at educational theory, you look at university, you look at all the policies and these things, it's all centered on this idea that man is good. And that's why a lot of these policies and these things is fail, because we know man is not good. Man is evil. And so, but when you come with that as a basis, as a foundation, you're able actually to do something on this planet. But unfortunately, that's not the case. Most people believe man is good, and therefore everything flows from that belief. But we need to go back to the scriptures, and we know that's not true. It's sinful nature. It's part of if you guys are familiar with TULIP, which is the tenets of Calvinism. The first one is total depravity, total depravity. And it's only because of God, and it's only because of the sacrifice of his son that we can get ourselves out of that space. But I mean, okay, I need to move on. I could stay on this point for a long time. And so the wicked, that's what happens. They're estranged from the womb. These who speak lies go astray from birth. So we get this. They have venom like the venom of a serpent, like the deaf cobra that stops up its ear so that it does not hear the voice of charmers or a skillful caster of spells. And so is talking is giving this I picture this idea of the evil, the slithering snake. This is their venom, and it's all these different ways that go about it. And it's in verse 4, it's a deaf cobra. In fact, they can't be controlled. That's the whole idea. It does not hear the voice of charmers or a skillful caster of spells. It's one thing to be able to control this wickedness, but they can't control it. They stop up their ears, so they can't even hear. That they can't be reformed. Well, okay, reform is a bad word, but they just don't hear in these ways. And so now David is pronouncing judgment in verse 6. And he says, "Shatter their teeth in their mouth, break out the fangs of the young lions, O Lord." And so David would pray that God would punish these dangerous judges. If you think about the serpent, the cobra, the lion, the power is in their teeth, is in their fangs. And so David just simply asks, "Lord, take away their fangs, take away their deadly bite." And in a way, like if they can't do any good, then he says, "Lord, deprive them of their ability to do evil." A snake without its venom and fangs is just a harmless animal running around. I mean, a lion without their teeth, and their claws is just an animal that we'd only be so deathly afraid of in that way. And he says that's what happens. If there's no capacity for good, then deprive them of their ability to do evil. It's just a simple way. Verse 7, let them flow away like water that runs off. You just think of this picture like water, let's say water in the desert, or it gets out of, and it just kind of dies out in that way. This is kind of the similar picture of it. And when he aims his arrows, let them be as headless shafts. Or let obviously the arrow, the whole part is the tip, which is sharp. And so look, cut that off. In other words, again, if they have no capacity for good, let's deprive them of their ability to do evil in this way. This is interesting. Verse 8, let them be as a snail, which melts away as it goes along. Now we know that the snail doesn't melt away as it goes along, but it seems like it does because it leaves like this trail of slime. And so, but it's kind of the picture that he wants to see. He wants to see, if you think about like a rapid dispersion of their power. I mean, they're going to be there. If they're going to be evil, basically, Lord, take away their power, take away their fangs, take away those things that make them dangerous in that way. And let them, almost in a sense, like wish they were not even born. I mean, this sounds quite harsh, but he says, like the miscarriages of women which never see the sun, just take away their power, as if they're not even here. In that way, before your pots can feel the fire of thorns, there's some allusion to, thorns being cooked in and caught, causing poison and these type of things. And so, let that not happen. And he will sweep them away with the whirlwind, the green and the burning alike. And then verse 10, this is key. Righteous will rejoice when he sees the vengeance. Righteous will rejoice when he sees the vengeance. Now, this seems to be a bit contrary to what we think that Christians should be. We feel like we shouldn't rejoice in the righteous and particularly the New Testament in this way. But let's just sit down and think about this a little bit. David was reflecting and he was thinking about the happiness, coming to the righteous at God's judgment of these unrighteous judges. And there is some cause for rejoicing, when this happens. I mean, just think of, movies that you see where the evil people where they kind of get, their punishment handed to them. And there's a rejoicing that happens. And we need to be a bit careful. We're not rejoicing in their demise, even though that seems to be what David is saying here, but we rejoice that they're no longer allowed to do this at all. They're no longer allowed to have this punishment, this are able to punish others in this way. And so there is a joy that happens when we see the vengeance of God, when we see justice happening, when we see people going to prison, and these type of things for what they've done. There is a sense of joy that happens in these places. And it says, and he will wash his feet in the blood of wicked, of the wicked. And this is, I mean, you can imagine this is like kind of, remember, David is a soldier, he's a warrior. And so it's almost like, a battlefield when the enemy is struck down. And so obviously there's blood on the ground. And he sees this same kind of idea. There's like this relief that victory is here. I mean, surely, we see that. Lisa and I I like to watch. I don't have time to watch whole movies, so on YouTube I do like to watch like movie reviews, like 10-minute reviews of the movies. One of the movies reviews that I saw a lot yesterday, and Lisa was watching a little bit with me as well. It's a story of this Korean lady, and she's like wanting to learn English. And she's kind of a menace in her town and all these things. But then people find out, why she's like this, and because she's been holding something, and she was a comfort woman. And it's this movie is actually a based on a true story. The title is called I Can Speak, and you can look it up. Powerful movie, and it's about this woman who's basically testifies because she was one of the last remaining comfort women. World War II, and the Japanese, they basically kidnapped a lot of women, actually from all over, but a lot of Koreans, were taken during this time, and it just shares this whole story of how she was able to testify in Congress, and as a result, there was some pressure put on the Japanese government, and a lot of people got away with a lot of stuff. We see, and then Lisa and I were having just a short chat, and we're looking at, the story of Nazis that fled to the U.S., to Argentina, to other places, and seemingly, seem to have lived a pretty full life despite the atrocities that they have done. And then I was just sitting there thinking, I says, there has to be a heaven, because of the injustice here on this earth, and the other side, meaning there must be a hell as well. There's just for the sense of righteousness, there's got to be some punishment, for the wicked and things that people think they're getting away with, and these type of things. And I feel like David is kind of speaking that same way. The righteous will rejoice when he sees the vengeance. And it's not like we are in that way. I mean, this is a fairly difficult passage. We're not rejoicing their demise. I don't know, even though it seems to say something like that in that way, it's It's kind of interesting. Let me just continue on. This is the question to ask, and I get this from one of the commentaries. If it is right in God to destroy, then it cannot be wrong in his servants to rejoice that he does. I'll read that again. If it is right in God to destroy, it cannot be wrong in his servants to rejoice that he does. Only that they have to take heed that their emotion is untarnished. In other words, it's got to be a righteous judgment in that way. Here's Morgan. He says this. It is a sickly sentimentality and a wicked weakness that have more sympathy with the corrupt oppressors than with the anger of God. I'll read that again. It is a sickly sentimentality and a wicked weakness that have more sympathy with the corrupt oppressors than with the anger of God. God is allowed, obviously, to move in his anger. God is allowed to move in his wrath. And this is what's going to happen. And so there seems to be, something. The righteous will rejoice when he sees the vengeance. He will wash his feet in the blood of the wicked, and the men will say, surely there is a reward for the righteous. Surely there is a God who judges on earth. And there seems to be something said, about this. David's desire was to see the world, and to see this order in the world, where righteousness is rewarded and wickedness is judged. I want you to know that's not David's idea. This is God's heart, right? That righteousness is rewarded and wickedness is judged. And he longed to see this happen, on the earth. The righteous will rejoice when he sees the vengeance. And because obviously then that means justice is prevailing. And, justice is really God's reign and rule in heaven come down to earth. And there seems to be something about this. But I think we need to take pause, and we just need to, make sure in our heart that it's not coming from a wrong place in our heart. Like I said, this is a tough passage, okay? Let's just be clear about this. And I think something that we can kind of wrestle with for a bit of time. With that said, we do need to be men and women that mete out justice, especially as rulers, especially when we're given places of power. That we must be just and we must judge uprightly. Whereas these men unfortunately did not do that, and thus causing these issues. So let's close our eyes a bit. Now, a lot to think about so early in the morning. And yeah, in a way, I mean, let's just examine our hearts through this. And the Lord does say, vengeance is mine, declares the Lord, he will repay. And so it's not for us to take that vengeance, it's for the Lord. But when the Lord is vetting that, I think we need to really watch our hearts and our emotions, a bit in this way. I'm reminded that, the Lord does not like it when we rejoice in, I think, the suffering of the wicked or something like that. And so I think we should be quite aware of that and aware of our emotions through all this. But I mean, let's just pray. Let's pray that in this way that there will be reward for the righteous, and there will be justice for the wicked. A reward for the righteous, and wickedness would be judged. And there's so many things going on all over the world. So many things done in secret. Pray that the righteous will be rewarded and the wicked will be judged. And so as we sing, I don't know what song we've chosen for this. It's an interesting theme. But as we go before the Lord in worship, let's just ponder our hearts. Are we agents of righteousness? Are we contributing to wickedness by our thoughts, by our gossip, by our own feelings, whatever it may be? And so let's just go before the Lord. Pray. Let's come before the Lord. Let's give him our hearts. And as we think about injustice, let's go back to that prayer point. Let's pray. Let's pray that the righteous would be rewarded and the wicked would be judged. And it's just a very simple formula here. And let's just go before the Lord. Let's go to our community prayers and let's just lift up our friends and family that are battling through cancers and going through therapies. Let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that are battling illness, but also need to meet with Jesus. So let's pray for physical healing. Let's pray for the word of salvation. Let's pray for those dealing with non-cancer related illnesses. Let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for just a touch of God. Let's also just continue to lift up all of our ones that are dealing with COVID, especially our frontline medical workers. Let's really ask the Lord to just touch them, to really fill them with their spirit and protect them. You know, COVID, and especially in the public hospitals, is spreading like crazy, especially among healthcare professionals. And so let's just really just cover them, just cover our members and family that have contacted COVID. Let's pray. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work. Let's pray for open doors and pray for God's provision. Put our mission focus, and let's lift up our church in Japan in Tokyo. Pray for Pastor Sophia and Jungmin and Hinjin. Let's cover the city. Let's pray for the U.S. as well, for SB New York, for Ruth, Jess, and Kelly, and for Juanita, our intercessors. Continue to pray for her health. Thanks to God to continue to use her to pray, and pray for India and pray for Kelly. Let's ask God to really bless Kelly's mission endeavors. Let's lift up Japan, the U.S., and India. Let's cover our missions council. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to really use them during this time, especially as they are just working through trying to help people through this last wave, fifth wave in this pandemic. Let's just ask God for wisdom and pray that God would really use them. As Presby fam, let's ask the Holy Spirit to really lead and guide this ministry. Let's pray for the babies that are under our care. Let's just ask for just strength during this time. Let's pray for the gatherings tonight, the IP, SPU, and SP Youth. And even though things are online, let's pray for anointing. Let's pray for the young people to really draw closer to the Lord and our prayer people to really pray God's purposes. Let's pray for our women that are pregnant right now. It's a tough time with this pandemic and so many cases. Let's pray for protection. Protect the moms, protect the dads, protect the families, protect the babies in the womb. Let's just really pray for God's grace and comfort to come over these families. Let's pray for house church tonight. Go, McCain, McDaddy, Providence Bay, and Westside. Let's pray for our leaders, and let's pray for everyone's attention span on Zoom. Let's pray for all the internet connections, and let's pray that people really draw close. Pray together. Father, we just want to just lift up, Lord, our hearts and we'll recognize, God, that we need to be very suspicious of our hearts, Lord. The heart is deceptively wicked, Lord God, Jeremiah says. Who can comprehend it? Who can understand it? And so, Lord, even as it pertains to justice, Lord, we can be operating in injustice and not really know it. And so we pray, God, that your righteousness would reign, God, that your justice, Lord, heaven come down to earth upon us, Lord. And Lord, we do pray, God, that wickedness, Lord, would be punished, God. Lord, we know that you do not rejoice, Lord, in the death of the wicked, God, and you want everyone to repent and turn, Lord. And sometimes, God, that punishment or the threat of it will lead people to that place of repentance, God. And that's what we cry out for, Lord. And so just bring your justice here to this earth, God. Watch over us, God. Watch over our church. Watch over our people, over the city. We especially just want to pray for all the frontline medical workers, God, that are stressed and that are just going through a lot of different things, God. I pray that you would really watch over them, God, and give them strength, Father. Help them to bring healing and compassion to the city, Father God. And thank you. We love you, Lord. Just help us to just run hard after you, God, every day, no matter what. Keep us safe, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you, guys. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you this weekend online. Take care. Bye.